translation. All of these seasonal times are considered extremely auspicious for humanity. At such times, one should perform all auspicious activities, for by such activities, a human being attains success in this short duration of life. Responsibly, please. All of these seasonal times are considered extremely auspicious for humanity. At such times, one should perform all auspicious activities. For by such activities, a human being attains success in his short duration of life. Purport. When one comes to the human form of life through natural evolution, one must then take the responsibility for further progress. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vrata Devam, one who worships the demigods can be promoted to their planets. Yanti Mad Yajinopi Mam. And if one practices devotional service to the Lord, he goes back home, back to Godhead. In the human form of life, therefore, one is meant to act auspiciously in order to return home, back to Godhead. Devotional service, however, does not depend on material conditions. Ahoitiki apretiata. Of course, those who are engaged in fruitive activities, on the material platform, the times and seasons mentioned above are extremely congenial. Nam Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swam Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatate Shitarne Vantikalpa Jubisdaya Kripa Sindhavi Evacha Pati Chanam Pamnibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namanama. I'm kind of glad I didn't get the verse before. Everything comes by Krishna's arrangement. I noticed here the word, one must take the responsibility for further progress. Srila Prabhupada says in one place that this human form of life alone is one of responsibility. And you probably know the word response means, you know, responsibility. How do you respond to something or to somebody? And I kind of looked it up quickly this morning. That word re, it can mean against or it can mean mutual. So how do we respond? Do we respond against something or do we respond mutually to cooperate? So that's more or less our challenge in life. We're always getting, we're always being challenged, actually. Always being challenged. Because we are in an unnatural position. It's not our position to be in this world. Therefore, life will challenge us. I was reading a book not so long ago. I know it's quite good to be alone sometimes because then you won't get challenged. Right? As soon as you're with people, you get challenged. But someone once said that even if you go and run away and become a hermit in the mountains, even the mountains will be challenging you. The trees will be challenging you. Life will challenge us. Life is like a mirror. Trying to waken us up, of course, to our Krishna consciousness. Krishna is always, always trying to wake us up. So how do we respond to that waking up? Just like we're always getting feedback. Some people, when they get feedback, they deny it. They deny it. And the more mad you are, the more you deny it, right? No one likes to get feedback. It's one of our rules in our ISKCON educational services. Anyone who does service must take feedback, including me, especially from my wife. So we must take feedback. Why? Because we're deluded. And life is always trying to make us wake up to our responsibility. Because responsibility can be a word that's used in a very heavy way sometimes, right? You must be responsible, blah, blah, blah. But we do need to respond. We see that animals respond instinctively. If you come to a dog, it'll just bark. Similarly, many people just bark. But we have that choice. We have the, some people say we have that second, that split second between being given some stimulus, we're able to think, should I respond like this? Or maybe it's not just thinking, maybe sometimes it's just going into our heart and just being silent for a little second, thinking, now I have the choice how I respond. And of course, many people, I've mentioned this before, you can tell people's sort of situation in life, their responsibility, by how they use their language. And many times you'll find people saying, no, I have to. I had to do that. Sorry I'm late. I had to speak to someone in the corridor. You didn't have to speak to someone in the corridor. You could have said, excuse me, I've got a meeting to go. I'd love to have a word with you, but I'll just see you later if I can, all right? I better get going now, right? But so often we find people sort of blaming circumstances, right? And that's the nature of the conditioned soul. Is we took the responsibility to come to this material world. We took that choice. Nobody else took it. We took that choice to come to this material world. We have the choice to come back. And which is why when we actually, when I make apologies to people, then I try not to just do that superficial apology which people tend to do in this world. They say, oh, I'm sorry. And why do we do it? We do it because we want to get off the hook. We want to seem to be like a nice guy or lady. You know, that's not what apologizing is about. Apologizing is about thinking about the other person, how it affected them. It's not about us. It's about them. And when we actually take responsibility and say, I made a mistake, what are we doing? We're giving ourselves, we're actually saying, I did it. I took the choice. I acted in a wrong way. Therefore, what are we doing? It's good because we're empowering ourselves. I made a mistake, therefore in the future I don't have to make that mistake again. We're always acting as a victim, saying, sorry, what could I do? You spoke to me like that, I had to say that, or that circumstance came up, I had no choice to do it, right? Then we're not owning our responsibility, and we become a victim, and we'll carry on being a victim. But once we admit, you know, I made a wrong choice, okay, then, you know, we're giving ourselves the opportunity next time. Let's try and do it better. So that's responsibility is quite a deep thing sometimes. Some people say that we have to admit that wherever we are in life, you know, we made that situation. Right? We made that situation. It doesn't mean the other person necessarily will be right if we're in a difficult situation. Someone might be victimizing us in some way, right? Someone might be doing something against us. Someone might be hurting us, right? But we still have that free choice how we respond to that. And Jesus told us the same things. You know, no matter how someone insults us, we can always turn the other cheek, right? We don't have to, you know, children say that. Why did you hit that boy? Well, he hit me. That's not response. He hit me, there if I hit it. That's an animal. The dog barked at me. The dog bit me. The dog barks back, right? We have that freedom of choice. Of course, choice is a choice is a big word in society. People love to have choice nowadays. I've noticed that. You know, the NHS a few years ago, you can choose which hospital to go. You go to a lot of freedom, isn't it? You know, you're in this material world. You haven't got much choice about getting a disease, but you can choose which hospital to go to. And I think they spent about several, I think it was millions or maybe billions of pounds setting up this computer system. And I think after a year, only 17 people had used it. It works out quite a lot of money for each choice, right? So there was this sort of attempt to honor people's choice. But of course, often that, in my experience, that word is used without responsibility because, you know, there's that saying that if you pick up one end of the stick, you automatically pick up the other end of the stick. So if you pick up your free choice, you also pick up the reaction, right? And how many times do we say to someone, well, you know, I have choice about how I express something to you, but if I express something to you, I'm also going to have to take the responsibility for how you react to me, right? I can say certain things in this class, right? And that's my choice, but I'm also going to have to take what you say back to me afterwards, right? So choice means we have to respond to, and we all know that, though. You know, we try and, when we're teenagers or when we're children, we try and want the choice, we want the choice, but we don't want to take the responsibility, right? And that happens all the time in life. When we see a contradiction, an intelligent person can, you know, we question those contradictions, and often we're contradictory. We want to have choice, but we don't want to have what comes with it. In fact, we're scared of freedom. We claim we want freedom, we're actually scared of freedom. Freedom's possible. It's freedom in the, it's possible in the spiritual world. But we don't want to take that responsibility. We want to blame Krishna. So when things go wrong, there's that tendency. It's Krishna's fault. It's Krishna's fault. It's someone else's fault. And of course, Maya gives that illusion. She'll give what we want. So this mention here, not only we mention responsibility, we mention natural evolution. A big lack of responsibility, this word chance, isn't it? This word chance, big evasion of responsibility. I'm still amazed just how taken in people are by this evolution, this. Srila Prabhupada is interested. He uses the word natural evolution. So I suppose we can assume this Darwin's is unnatural evolution, right? But it's amazing how blind following the blind, just how people don't think, how people actually don't think. At least we have a human brain where we can think. The trouble is we're driven by the animal propensities. That's the problem. When those animal propensities come up, that lust makes us unintelligent. So people are so driven by sense gratification, it is very painful to them to think, because we might get in the way of their sense gratification. We have to explain this to students. It's a lot of fun explaining it to children, all about what real evolution is. You know, we sometimes explain it's like being on the, when I was a young devotee, we used to explain it's like being on a roundabout, right? And sometimes you can be on the, I saw a roundabout when I was in India. It looked about 100 years old. It was just on the beach, one of these little roundabouts going along. It looked really old-fashioned, you know. And sometimes you're on the hippopotamus, and sometimes you're on the horse, right? And in the same way, we're traveling on these different material bodies. And nowadays, I suppose you say it's like the London Eye. Sometimes you're at the top, sometimes you're at the bottom, right? So actually many people, it's surprising how many people don't understand actually how samsara works. Well, we've had many teachers don't even understand. I was in a school the other day, and when I came out, they said, thank you very much. Everything is so much clearer now. So much clearer. So that's what Srila Prabhupada did. He made it very clear that the animals, still people think that the animals get karma. It's still not clear in all the books on Hinduism, and you know, they still think that, and you know, kids often put their hands up, I'm a bit confused, how can a pig be good or bad, right? Well, that's the point. I was actually in quite a good school the other day, an independent school in, where was it, anyway, somewhere up towards Bucks somewhere, nice school, very sort of posh school, and I'm actually, at the end of talking to the children, all the children came around and they were asking questions. And I was making that point quite strongly. And this is something I really believe in, is we have to be very strong in our preaching. Someone the other day said, well, I've presented something about Krishna consciousness. And I'm very careful about how I present. I believe that we must present Krishna consciousness very, very nicely. So someone came up to me and they could see my sort of concern. So they said, Don't worry, it's not very strong, what I'm presenting. And I said, but I want it strong. I want it strong. Krishna consciousness is powerful. I think our preaching should be powerful. But the way we present it is different. The way we present it. should be good. Often what's happened in the early days, we'd preach heavy and we'd be really heavy with people. You know, we've got people still walking around this country, I'll never speak to a devotee again, right? Right, let's put them off. But we don't actually compensate for that, for just making it weak. We compensate by presenting it in a nice way, in a palatable way. You know, Prabhupada says we have to give people taste. We make it palatable for them. We do it, you know, according to Kala Desha Pacha, the right thing for that person. It can still be powerful, very powerful, but it's just the way it's done. And that's what we do with the children. And there I am sitting amongst all these children, and then I'm, and I'm saying to them, yes, that's the difference between us and an animal. And I'm not sort of saying, you know, you're animals if you're materialist, right? I'm saying, you know, it's the difference between us and an animal. Is we can have choice. And I gave that example Prabhupada gives in a lecture. If if you're in someone's house, you don't just go and eat the food. Well, I hope you don't anyway. If you're in a guest house, you don't just go up and something on the table, go up to their pantry, raid their kitchen, right? You ask first. Srila Prabhupada gives that example. This is where the Srila Prabhupada's bringing it in as very human, actually, very cultural, you know, sort of examples. And so I'm sitting with these children. I said, you don't do that. If you're in someone else's house, you wait till they eat and you sit down. And at least religious people, they sometimes have some kind of grace or something. It's done in a cultured way. There's control. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, this is culture. Animals don't. Animals just, you know, jump on things, do anything they want. We have that culture. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching the teachers in the back and they're sort of nodding. And they come up to after me and say, great, fantastic. So we can be strong on this. We don't want to call people animals, but we can point out that it actually is because we're thinking about it. There's a difference between just calling something someone and actually understanding the facts. You know, animals don't have choice. If we don't use that choice, we're being an animal, right? If we present it nicely, people understand. People are concerned. Many teachers and older generation are very concerned. What's going to happen? The way things are going in society. There's no delaying of gratification anymore. I sometimes think when Krishna consciousness gets hard, and because Krishna consciousness is never hard, it's just the surrender that's hard. But when the surrender gets hard, I sometimes think it's if I'm sitting in a prison and the prison guard just leaves that door open. Here I am in prison, suffering. Someone leaves the door open, just for a minute. I know he's gone to get somebody. He's going to be back in a minute, right? What do I do? I seize that opportunity, and I get out quick. I don't think, should I? Maybe I shouldn't, you know, right? Maybe I'll just have a, you know, cup of tea or something, right? That's what we do, right? That's what Prabhupada says. That's what we do. The goats are getting, the goats are queuing up to get slaughtered. What do they do? They have sense gratification. Have you noticed you do that? You ever find when you have a problem, you suddenly reach the burfi or something? Right? You ever notice that? You ever notice it in yourself, you know? Your little things that you do when it gets difficult, you've got some problem that you've got to face, rather than facing it sort of, okay, right? Something to distract. Of course, you know, we need to look after ourselves, but... we catch ourselves doing something to distract ourselves from having to think about something, make a decision or something like that, some problem we've got to overcome. And that's the tendency. The goats are just eating the grass and next one's being slaughtered. But Prabhupada says a human being thinks, let's get the hell out of here, let's make a plan, right? Instead of being slaughtered. And that's what's going on. So very responsible, this human form of life. And when I was just jotting a few notes here, I put, unfortunately, the Vedas offer allurements to the higher planets. Of course, in one sense, it's not unfortunate. It's done with good psychology. We're not going to go up to a materialist immediately and say, give up sense gratification. So there's allurements if you want. Anyone who's worked with children knows you have to do this. You have to sometimes use a little psychology. I had one school I had once, there was one boy who was really causing disruption. And so I just, what they do is, they shout out, right? And they really want attention. And so one boy was shouting out a lot. So, you know, rather than sort of saying, don't do that, someone shouts out, You know, he shouts out an answer. You say, you know, what's the name of the big river in India? And he says Ganges. Or usually they say the River Nile, actually, but anyway. So he shouts out, you know, so what do? I don't just say, oh, shut up, don't do that. I've told you not to do that. I say, okay, now put your hand up. Now say it. You see what I'm saying? He shouted out once, but I said, okay, now put your hand up. What did you say? You know, River Nile. Okay? Almost. All right? So what I'm doing is I'm encouraging that energy, taking that, and I'm not sort of pushing it down. I'm saying, okay. And after a bit, you can get the real troublemakers putting his hands up, and he's, hey, I'm enjoying this, right? Because he was actually enjoying getting the attention in a bad way. He was trying to get attention through being naughty. And we all want attention. But how do we get attention, right? Are we doing it in the bad way or the good way? So you can actually train them. You see. It's the same way. If we're wanting sense gratification, we can say at least get sense gratification in the good way. Don't get it in a criminal way. At least go through the Vedas. So the Vedas offer those allurements for sense gratification in the heavenly planets. And at least there's some acceptance of authority, just like when I'm trying to get that kid to do, put the hand up, right? At least there's some rules being followed. So that's what you call, positive reinforcement. You're actually trying to get someone to get a taste, a higher taste. Srila Prabhupada says it's our job to give them this higher taste. So we're actually learning to give that higher taste. So the Vedas are sort of at least giving that higher taste if you want better sense gratification. But of course, Srila Prabhupada says, as soon as you get to the Upanishads, then there's a chance to get out of this material world and realize it's futile. I think most of us can realize that going on holiday is a solution, but if you've got problems back at the manor, when you get back, you kind of might have a little bit more energy to deal with it, but you still got to deal with it, right? You haven't really got very far. So I must admit, I'm sometimes tempted. I feel like, oh, things are tough. Can't we just go up to heavenly planets for a couple of lifetimes? But when you return, in the name of the, there was a song like, when you return, it's the same old place, right? So you haven't really got anywhere. So it's good. It's good psychology. I like Krishna consciousness. It's very, very clever psychology because it's about motivation. Learning's not about learning things. It's about motivation. It must be motivation. Of course, this interesting thing about astrology, I think today it's probably the 15th, isn't it? Okay. What are we? Vishabha Sankranti today. Vishabha Sankranti. The sun's going in. Sun's going into Taurus today, and Venus is in Taurus, and Ketu's in Taurus, if I remember right. So sometimes we get into this astrology. Usually, when we want to know whether to get married or not, when anyone comes up to me and asks, "Is your brother an astrologer?" I pretty much know what the question is. And it does appear that actually Srila Prabhupada, it's a little controversial. This, or maybe not controversial. Maybe there's different angles. Could be controversial, but there's different angles on it. It seems that Srila Prabhupada sometimes say we shouldn't get into astrology and things like that. Other times, he, especially with marriage, he sort of says, you know, it's useful. It's useful. But of course, the difficulty with astrology for an atheist is, it like the Vedas, it gives some idea of authority. It gives some idea of design. They generally think that it's like the Middle Ages. The Middle Ages was when they used to think about earth, fire, water, ether, etc., which we have no problems with, right? When they used to talk about people being phlegmatic or melancholic, right? Which we don't have too much problems with either, because it's quite similar to sort of Ayurveda and different constitutions of people. But of course, society is based on putting the past down. We have to put the past down, because what was the past? Ramachandra and Sita and Krishna, and you know, the past was glorious. We have to put the past down to appear we're progressing and leading people on the right path to happiness. Right? But so they put it back down as backwards superstition. But I don't know if you know this, that they actually did some research. It must have been 10, 20 years ago. And they found, we got the Olympics coming up, so we can talk about this. They actually tested athletes, what their horoscopes were, and they found that there was a very high correlation that were people who were good athletes, Mars was either on the horizon or the mid-heavens above them, right? And the correlation was millions to one. That means, correlation means, you know, it could be just chance, but what are the chances? Millions to one against that it was just chance, right? So they found athletes had Mars, and because we agree, we know, you know, Mars is about, right? Mars is Hanuman, right? Hanuman's good at the Olympics, isn't he? He did the best long jump ever done, right? No one's ever beaten Hanuman's long jump, right? Weightlifting as well, he was pretty good, right? Right? They do say bananas give you energy, so that explains it, right? I see teachers eating bananas and stuff, because they do, they give you energy. So so Hanuman's red or orange, right? I hear some people, they worship Hanuman, the athletes worship Hanuman with the Olympics coming out, right? So Mars, it says Shakespeare talks about this Emerald Isle, the seat of Mars. England's the seat of Mars, right? That's why England had the empire. It was all red, right? When I was a kid, we used to be very proud. We used to look around the earth, and so much was red, including India, right? You see? Shishi Radhagokulanda ki. So actually, there's truth in that. Of course, we get the word martial from that. Martial arts. You see? So Mars is in charge of anger, and anger can be used in a good way or a bad way. If you don't believe anger can be used in a good way, just look at the picture over there. Nrisingadev. Also in Brighton, I think I might have told you this before, but in Brighton they actually have more police on the... they actually do this. They have more police out on full moon nights. They actually have extra staff out on full moon nights because they know there's more crime. I don't know about you, but I usually have a rough time around the full moon. I don't sort of start having to shave more often or anything like that, or howling at the moon, but I do find I have a rougher time just before a full moon, actually, about 2 days before, I find it more difficult. Recently, it's funny, I read somewhere in America they're trying to get rid of the word lunatic. The word lunatic, because now, you know, everyone has to be politically correct and things like this, right? So they get rid of certain words. And actually, looking in the next text, there's probably, you can have a look at that, there's probably one word I'll try and ban in Sanskrit. But they're trying to get rid of certain words. And they say lunatic because it's old-fashioned. But actually, it's quite a good word in one sense because, you know, one can be affected by the moon. Again, it's their attempt to sort of control everything, right? Nowadays, you have to control everything. You get rid of certain words because they're pejorative, they're judgmental. But it's just simply control. Simply control. I was actually on that subject. I wasn't feeling so well since I got back from India in early January. And so I went to the doctor and he said, you've got some kind of bacteria or something. Don't worry, it's not catching. So I got some kind of bacteria. And so I looked it up on the internet, you know. And it's amazing just how these doctors and research people get into it. You know, they analyze it completely, which bacteria, and they say, this one might, in the future, it might contaminate the water supply, it might be life-threatening. And they're actually kind of like watching all these bacteria and seeing how they're evolving. But the sense I got from it was almost a hopeless task. It's, you know, they're sort of nitpicking and getting, you know, they're really analyzing it and breaking it down. And this bacteria has this, I don't know, enzyme and this DNA and it does this and it does that. And it's really just very controlling and fear, full of fear. In the future, the water supplies could be complete, you know, and people be dropping dead everywhere, right? And I just thought, oh, chill out a bit, you know. Actually, I phoned up one of my doctor friends. He said, just take yogurt, you know, just get the balance in your body right, the natural balance, right? So that's the problem, is we want to control everything, and we don't accept that those planets are controlling us. So therefore, we can sometimes... as a devotee. Actually, I was thinking, even Ravana believed in the planets, right? He was a big demon, right? And he was trying to control the planets. Didn't he put anything? He put all the planets in steps up to his throne. I don't know whether he put them personally, and there was, you know, how he actually did it, but somehow I heard he had all the planets, and he, as he walked up to his throne, he'd step on all the planets. And then I think Narada Muni said, we are treading on Shani, Saturn. But, you know, you're treading on his back. If you want to really insult him, tread on his face. Turn him the other way up. So apparently he turned Saturn on his front. And of course, when he turned on his front, Saturn's gaze fell on him. Of course, you know, everyone's scared of Saturn's gaze, Shani, right? And that's why he was destroyed. So Narada Muni's up to his usual tricks, right? Right? So he actually believed in the plants, but nowadays, we're so ignorant, we don't even realize. Like, people are so ignorant, they don't even realize that they can do these ceremonies to gain the heavenly planets. We're so much in denial of everything. Denial, denial, denial. Everything's fine, everything's going on. Kali Yuga, very, very strong. I want to be in control, so there's no control. It's kind of questionable how much we use this astrology. It seems that even towards the end, Srila Prabhupada, when he was not long before the end, he was talking, having people go to astrologers, have people going to doctors, vaidyas, people. So it appears that we have to sort of try and get a balance. I've seen people get completely obsessional about astrology. The danger with astrology is we start thinking that, we're waiting for a good time. But frankly, in Kali Yuga, the good time never comes. You know, when I go to my brother, just wait till June, but there's another planet coming in. I seem to have been doing that for the last 20 years, right? So they do say in motivational and business speakers, they do say, don't wait to get everything right, because you'll never do anything. Right? I didn't start ISKCON Educational Service by having, a card, a car, an office. I had it by having an office with nothing, full of cockroaches, right? But if you have the desire to do something, everything comes. You make it, right? So, of course, there might be good times, there might be bad times. There's a time, isn't it Shakespeare? Is it Shakespeare said that? There's times and tides in the life of man when he must seize the opportunity or something. So, when the tide comes in, it's time to push your boat out, but you still have to row or sail your boat out, right? So maybe astrology can say this is a good time, that's a bad time. Certainly there's times to plant seeds, there's times to harvest, right? But at the same time, it does not replace our responsibility. And if we have a desire to do something, the universe responds. If we have a desire to be in delusion, we'll see the delusion, we'll have the excuses to stay in Maya. And if we have the desire to serve Krishna, everything will come. Everything will come. So it's not a question of waiting for the opportunities right. And for sense gratification, we always have to get the conditions right because it's conditional. I got a mouse the other day. One of my mice went wrong in the office. So I used to be electronics many years ago, 40 years ago I was studying. So I opened it up, had a look. I was completely amazed how complicated this little mouse is. I mean, the circuitry is amazing. And if one bit goes wrong, the whole thing goes wrong. You've got all your computer, all the different parts, one bit, and it all has to be working. Everything has to be working simultaneously. One link in the chain goes, the whole thing goes. That's how much we're controlling. That's how condition. It only works if that condition's met, that condition's met, that condition's met, that condition's met, that condition's met. And what do? We say, I'll be happy if I can control this, so I have to get that condition met, that condition met, that condition. And what am I doing? I'm hemming myself in. Can't move anymore, right? Can't move. So we can't. Devotional service is not based on getting conditions right. It's based on whatever we do, we can just serve Krishna. Very simple. Very simple. We might sometimes have to, we can look at these things, astrology, etc., etc., but it needs. There's a tension there. There's a tension. And Srila Prabhupada in one, I just read this, I wrote this down. The only remedy, Prabhupada's talking about how this material world's precarious position. Very precarious. I like that word, precarious. You know what precarious means? The word? It means praying. Precarious means like the drop's about to fall off the lotus leaf. And you're looking at that drop thinking, when's it going to go, right? And sometimes when you get to my age, you're kind of thinking, when am I going to go, right? And when's that drop just going to go? Precarious. So it's good, isn't it? It means to pray. So the only remedy is to surrender unto Vishnu and always pray to be excused. Nice. One should depend only on the causeless mercy of the Lord for deliverance, and not even slightly on one's own strength. Not even slightly on one's own strength. Yeah, it says one should depend only on the causeless mercy of the Lord for deliverance and not even slightly on one's own strength. So ultimately, we have to throw our arms up like a child to the Lord. We can try, but ultimately we have to do that. Any questions, please?